ever seen this room anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Good morning, Angela Yee. It's Monday!
Yes.
Back to the work week.
All weekend, and I was at the Revolt Music Conference, and I do have to say, every year the Revolt Music Conference gets better and better and better. Now, I went to the dinner where they were honoring Queen Latifah.
Okay.
And it was fun. Daniel Caesar performed, then SZA performed.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job. Everybody gave her a standing ovation. It was incredible. And then Lauryn Hill performed.
Really? She was on time and everything?
She was on time and everything. And
wow.
It was very exciting. Everybody was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a beautiful event. She actually performed some of Queen Latifah's songs as well, which
That's
was really
dope.
Nice. And she sounded great. She looked great and everything.
So. Yeah, the Revolt Music Conference wasn't as... It's getting better and better. We broadcast live from Friday.
The broadcast sounded good.
Yeah, the broadcast sounded good.
But, you know, some things, when it's brand new, of course, there's some kinks you have to work out. So
nah,
it's been...
They should have had that together.
No, it was good this year.
It was great.
I'm saying that's what you would want, though. When you
right.
start a conference, every year it should get better.
Like, it is getting better.
From the year before that and the year before that. I did a Q&A with the head of global marketing for Beats by Dre, so shout out to Jason White. And I did the Drink Champs podcast live with Nori and DJ EFN, and we had a lot of special guests come through, so that was fun.
Okay.
Somebody going to have to get signed from the Revolt Music Conference soon.
Oh, Bryson Tiller was the last one.
Did they claim that? You got to claim those wins, because if not, then people feel like they're going out there for nothing.
Definitely got to claim that.
A lot of artists were talking to me about some great connections that they made while they were out there. Some people want to stay independent,
mm-hmm.
but they get to meet different producers, different people from different companies, get advice.
Well, they learn about streaming, they learn mm-hmm. about production, they learn about a lot.
It's very educational, and they get to see Kevin Lyles and
mm-hmm.
Diddy's there and Andre Harrell. Andre Harrell was crying.
Really?
He actually broke down a little when he was presenting at the Queen Latifah dinner.
Dope. Then after that, I flew out to, this is like homecoming season for me, so I get to touch a lot of the colleges and speak to a lot of the students. I went to FAMU Friday night in Tallahassee, Florida. But not only DJing, because DJing is the fun part, but you get to just talk to students, because they have so many questions about getting in the industry and getting into radio and broadcasting. So I did that Friday, and then Saturday I went to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
University of Louisville, and I did the same thing with them. So
I'm going to be in Kentucky this Saturday.
Yeah, I was there this week. And then
I'm going to be in Louisville on Friday.
Really?
I'm going to be at the University of Kentucky this Saturday.
Yeah, so I was there. And then this week, I'm at, of course, Hampton University. It's Hampton's homecoming, so I'll be in Hampton. And then I dip out to Howard as well. So I'll be just, I love going to the colleges, man. Those kids give me so much energy and have so many questions of how to get in the industry. It's always fun.
We're dropping the Clues Bombs of Chicago. I was there Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We had a men's empowerment conference. Salute to DLS. Men.com, my man Lewis Carr. It was me and my guy Sway and Dougie Fresh and D Nice and I can't forget the pastor's name right now, but it was dope because it was like 300 kids from Chicago, 300 young kinks,
mm-hmm.
and it was just men only. Kept everybody else out the room, and we just discussed life.
That real conversation.
Just this real conversation about
it's
life.
Needed some time,
and we got to do that more. Because I woke up Saturday morning and I posted two videos. I posted one from Bishop T.D. Jakes and one from Cardi B, and they both were saying the exact same thing.
Just different ways.
But right. the exact same thing. We need unity and group operation. We need fellowship instead of hating on each other. Actually, sit around and politic with each other and build with each other and empower each other. And that's what we did on Saturday in Chicago. So salute to them and salute to everybody in Newark. I was in Newark yesterday because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke at Symphony Hall, and that was fun as well.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, shout out to our newest member of the Breakfast Club, 105.5 The Beat in Rochester. Rochester's number one for hip hop and R&B. Welcome to the family,
okay.
guys.
How many markets is that now?
70, it's the Rock.
70 what?
I think we over 80.
Nah, we're not over 80.
I think we are.
They said that in the panel the other day.
They said it was over 80.
What panel?
The panel we did in D.C.
NABOB.
Oh, I forgot about that. I thought they were just throwing some extra sauce on there.
Maybe they was. I don't know.
Maybe we are. I don't know.
I don't know. But also, RZA will be joining us alongside Mathematics.
A lot of Mathematics.
Listen, I've been listening to that Wu-Tang album all weekend. We got to be real with the people. We interviewed the RZA last week. Okay.
Okay.
And before the album came out.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to hear the album. But that Wu-Tang album, I'm a Wu-Tang fan though, so you can't ask me. I'm a grown-ass man who still wants to get a Wu-Tang tattoo.
Which is
okay.
Crazy to me. But
this is vintage Wu-Tang.
Right. What's your favorite joint on there?
Oh, man. I like the joint with Redman and Method Man called, I think it's called that. Hood Banger or something.
Just those
like that.
Two by
well, Lil Math produced the whole entire album this time around.
I want to get on the joint from
my
the
only
album.
One.
I want to get on the joint from the album.
Good. My only one might be good for radio. That's a tough record.
We'll see what we can clean up, and we'll get a joint on during the interview, all right? Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
We'll talk about the airport. Different airline situations over the weekend. An airport worker who was stealing, and Tamika Mallory, activist, friend to the show, actually got kicked off of a flight.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Start off with sports somehow, some way. I don't know how, but the Giants won last night. They got their first win of the season. They are now 1-5. They beat the Denver Broncos 23-10.
Damn, so you back watching football now?
I ain't really watching.
Colin Kaepernick just filed a grievance against the NFL, and you gonna start watching football again?
I ain't really watching.
Okay.
Well, your team got a bye this week, huh?
I definitely was boycotting this.
You definitely.
I definitely was standing with Cap this week, 100%.
My goodness. Now, Miami beat Atlanta, Chicago beat Baltimore, Houston beat Cleveland, Minnesota beat Green Bay. Now, Green Bay's quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, he might be out for the rest of the season. Sorry, Q. Now, New Orleans beat Detroit 52-38. They gave up 52 points? That much?
Sheesh.
New England beat the Jets barely 24-17. Washington beat the 49ers 26-24. Arizona beat Tampa Bay 38-33. The Rams beat the Jaguars 27-17. The Steelers beat the Chiefs 19-13, and the San Diego beat Oakland 17-16. And in Monday Night Football, the Colts play the Titans.
And speaking of Colin Kaepernick, they did confirm that he did file a grievance, and that is for collusion. He feels like the NFL has conspired to keep him out because of his national anthem protests. That's the new court filing that they have.
Okay. And the Yankees play the Astros tonight, so we'll see what happens with that. Now, Tamika got kicked off a flight. What happened?
Yes, Tamika Mallory, we know her up here. She's always up here on The Breakfast Club doing a lot of
Tamika.
Great things. She was a co-chair.
For Tamika Mallory.
She's a co-chair of the Women's March on Washington, as well as other things. And she, basically told the whole story. She was leaving the Revolt Music Conference, coming back to New York. It was actually Al Sharpton's daughter was getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So she was trying to make it to the wedding. She did not, by the way, make it to the wedding. So she went to the kiosk, changed her seat from a middle seat to an aisle seat, and then somehow when she went to the gate, it was changed back to the middle seat. So she went over to the person that was working, to the agent, and she said,
"What airline?"
American.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Why was my seat changed? Why was it changed back to, the middle seat?" And she said the agent was very nasty to her, so she thought everything was over, got on the plane. And that's when the pilot told her the airline worker had nothing to do with her seat getting changed and that she was disrespectful. Then he said, "Can you get on this flight? Are you going to be a problem on this flight?" And she said, "No, I'm not. I'm fine. But I will write my complaint down." And then he looked at her and said, "You're going to get yourself a one-way ticket off this plane." Now, they let her on the flight. She went into her middle seat. No complaints. But then they made an announcement for her to come to the front of the plane. And the pilot pointed at her and said, "Her off."
Wow.
So since then, American Airlines has reached out and said, "Our team does not tolerate discrimination of any kind. We take these allegations seriously, and we are in the process of reaching out to our colleagues in Miami, as well as Ms. Mallory, to obtain additional information on what transpired during the boarding process." Now, she tweeted out, "Doesn't matter how much we do and how hard we fight, white men are allowed to treat black women like ish. Other people stand by and watch it happen because it doesn't affect them. If I have to fight alone, American Airlines will never get away with this."
And the bad part about it is that probably happens all the time when everybody's not Tamika Mallory. So I'm sure as soon as they found out that was Tamika Mallory and she put them on blast on Twitter, they was like, "Oh, let's rectify this."
But it's just not fair. They shouldn't be able to decide based on, "Oh, well, this person works American Airlines that I got to believe them." The pilot don't know what happened. He wasn't there. You're just believing somebody that works there. That's not right.
Yeah, the bad part about airlines, though, as soon as you go there, they got you by the balls. I realized that on Saturday when I was trying to fly out of Chicago and the flight was supposed to leave at 8:40, but then it got pushed to 10:15, then 11:30, and 11:40, and they could have just canceled the flight if they wanted to, and then you just stuck in the airport.
Yeah,
you're really at the mercy of the airline once you get to the airport, man.
Yeah. Now, quickly, the airport worker that got busted for stealing out of bags.
Oh yeah, I mean they caught him on video too.
Good.
He was going through people's bags and stealing items, and yeah.
I'll tell you about that time they stole my underwear out of my bag.
Y'all not gonna say his name? Get that man the respect he deserves. What's his name?
His name is Abdullah Hayy Maye.
Abdullah Hayy Maye.
He probably stole my underwear that time.
Why would somebody steal your underwear?
I don't know.
Are you
sure? I'm positive. Stole my underwear. Nasty. All right.
I bet y'all wish Dad could take him away. Abdullah, whatever his name is.
My goodness. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe something's bothering you, or maybe you just want to spread some positivity. Whatever it may be, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Get it off your chest. I just want to say I'm pissed off really crazy at that cop at West Orange High School. I was watching this video over the weekend of this cop taking two twin females, throwing them on the floor, putting his body weight on them, all because they asked him a question. I'll say allegedly because I don't know what happened, but it was disrespectful how that grown-ass man threw them two girls on the floor. Then the vice principal ran over to help to get him off the girls, and then they locked him up. It's disrespectful.
I got to go watch the video, but I don't want to watch the video because it's probably going to piss me off.
The officer's name is Hanifa Davis.
Give him the respect he deserves, okay, for being stupid. And he's got a female name. He's black,
it was,
right?
It was at Orange High School.
Yeah,
Orange
High School. Then.
They said he's already been relieved of duty.
Oh, yeah.
If you see the video, the way he threw them two, like, just imagine having a daughter and a cop throwing her on the floor, okay, a high school student. Like, it's disrespectful, man. And shout to Orange High School. They've been boycotting. The vice principal has been involved. I hate to see stuff like that, especially
the kids.
You hate
to see abuse of power.
Absolutely.
Especially from police officers.
Absolutely. Hello, who's this?
Yes.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Yeah, I just have too much anxiety in my life. Not happy, no relationship, nothing like that. No. Trying to, just get the negative stuff off my chest, be by myself a long period of time. So, yeah.
Anxiety.
I watch you guys every morning.
So. Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir. Anxiety is a tough thing to deal with, man, but you can't run from it. You got to face it. You got to embrace it.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike Tucker from the Lay the Guns Down Foundation out of Brooklyn, New York. And I just want to say thank you to the community for coming out yesterday in support of the Thompson family. That's the push-in robbery that happened in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Right, with the older family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Such a
lot
story.
Of people came out yesterday.
Did they get any details of what happened or not yet?
They still trying to. They know who it is. They're just trying to find the individuals.
All right, put him under the jail. Put him
exactly.
under the jail. All right, thank you, bro.
No problem.
Well, that's good. That means people are talking. They're not following that stupid-ass no snitching rule.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Augustine from Miami.
Augustine, get it off your chest.
So, when the hurricane came down here in Miami, there's all these companies offering jobs for, cleaning up process, hurricane relief, and I got one of those jobs. They ask you, can you work these long hours, 80 to 90 hours a week? I said, yes, sign me up. Boom. Started working. I started training their workers because I was so good at it. And from one day to the next, they start having these job fairs. They start promoting everywhere. Oh, we're looking for more people. I trained, I'd say, at least 10 people in the past 3 days. And then the next day they call me in. Oh, you're put on a wait list. We don't have enough trucks. We don't have enough. We have enough people. How are you going to do that? You promised me 2 to 3 months and you're hiring people. How are you just going to replace me after I put in 90 hours in 1 week?
Right. You feel used.
Oh, I feel used and abused.
You want us to feel sorry for you because you got fired?
Yes.
I've been fired 4 times, sir, from radio, 7 times in life. Why should I feel sorry for you? It happens.
I tell you, Friday I was training their workers. Saturday I was training their workers. Come Sunday, they tell me that they don't have enough work for me.
Get
back at it.
My last firing, Friday I was interviewing Beanie Siegel. Saturday I was doing a live remote from the club. Monday I was on the radio doing the morning show. Monday afternoon I was unemployed. What's your point?
Sorry, bro.
I don't feel sorry for you because you got fired.
Keep pushing. I guess that's what you tell them. Hello, who's this?
This is Rhonda.
Hey, get it off your chest.
I'm pissed off.
Why?
Because
I got arrested on Friday. I'm 43 years old. I've never been arrested before in my life.
Congratulations.
And no, it's crazy because I've been calling the police on my neighbor, and he's been verbally attacking me. And I'm outside talking to someone across the street from where I live, and he jumps in my face. Like, I'm only 4'9".
So he called the police on you?
I called the police to come and get this dude out my face. He stayed up from Thursday night all the way into Friday, harassing me, walking by my window, telling me he's going to drag me, meet him around the corner to fight him.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. I have 6 kids. 2 of them just moved out, and I still got 4 at home.
You ain't got no brothers? No uncles you can call?
I do, but, you know, I'm not trying to get my family locked up behind some junkie.
So how the hell you end up in jail?
I told him, get out my face and back up. He came at me again, so I had my keys in my hand, and I clocked him.
You got a nice little assault charge.
My goodness.
Gotta get you a dog, aw, man.
Now she gotta get her lawyer now. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, it looks like Wendy Williams versus Angie Martinez, and find out how 50 Cent somehow is involved in this equation as well.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Hey. Back to the work week. It's a Monday.
It is a Monday. Is it the holiday season yet? Can we officially say it's the holiday season?
But we always say after iHeart, it begins the holiday season, so we can say that.
Hey, and Halloween decorations are out. People got them on their house and stuff. It's the holiday season.
Yeah, Halloween is, what, in 2 weeks? And then we have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then we start all over again.
I can't wait for Halloween this year, by the way.
Well, who you going to be?
I'm not saying. You'll see on Halloween.
Is it a Wu-Tang character?
No, but I've had this costume for 3 months. You know, you've been laying out your clothes on the bed for the first day.
So you had it for 3 months?
I've had it for 3 months. I ordered it back in March.
You are
April.
A kid. And you tried it on. How many times you tried it on?
Twice. Make sure it fit right.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Chance the Rapper.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Chance the Rapper is headlining a concert, and that is for the Obama Foundation. Now, there's an Obama Foundation summit that's happening in Chicago next month, and he did announce that he has teamed with the organization to curate the concert part of it. Here's what he had to say.
I'm curating the concert at the end of the Obama summit this year. As soon as I heard about the summit, I jumped at the opportunity. There's a lot of great things going on in Chicago, and I love the collaborative effort of being able to be at some of these talks and hear what people have going on and figure out how I fit in. And the fact that the president is jumping ahead on programming before the library even gets built or the center gets built, it's inspiring.
Now, do you charge Barack and Michelle at this point? Because they're not in the White House no more. So this is kind of like a party.
Yeah, you got to charge
them. You got to charge them. Give me a little something.
Well, it is a foundation, and it's a two-day summit that starts October 31st. And what he's doing is bringing together civic leaders from Chicago, the U.S., and the world to exchange ideas, explore creative solutions to common problems, and experience art, technology, and music from around the world.
You give him a deal, though. You don't charge him what you would normally charge.
Right, you give him a little discount.
Yeah, that's all.
Or maybe you have him donate money to a cause like the public school system in Chicago that you champion as well.
But I thought it was his event. I thought it was Barack's event.
Right. So maybe instead of giving the money to Chance, you say, well, I want you to, instead of paying me, donate money to this foundation.
I charge him, then I can put the money where I want to put
it. I'm confused. Aren't they raising money for the charities?
Yeah, but if you want to pay somebody, if you're going to pay them anyway, why not ask for that money that they were going to pay you to go toward something that you already give money to? All right, now he also did buy out the movie theater for the movie Marshall.
I heard that's really good, by the way.
Yeah, so he wants everybody to go see it. It's about one of the most renowned cases that Thurgood Marshall has when he was a Supreme Court justice. He was the country's first African-American Supreme Court justice. He represented a black man accused of raping a white woman. And so that opened in theaters on Friday.
And Chadwick Boseman is playing Thurgood Marshall, right?
Yes.
Chadwick Boseman plays every black person. How many black people y'all gonna get Chadwick Boseman
well,
to
play? Well, he's a black man, so.
I'm saying, though, he can't play every. He done played Jackie Robinson, he done played James Brown, now he playing Thurgood Marshall, he playing the Black Panther.
He's a good actor. He's a great actor.
There's more black actors out there.
Let him live.
All right, well, in addition to him buying out the theater and inviting people to come and see the movie, he also showed up to that movie theater for a surprise panel with the whole cast of Marshall, so that's pretty exciting. for anybody that actually showed up. Now, Barbados is honoring Rihanna. They're giving her her own street. So the Ministry of Tourism announced that that soon-to-be name change will be happening for all the charity work that she does in Barbados. She is being rewarded for that. They said the government of Barbados will, on Independence Day, Thursday, November 30th, change the name of Westbury New Road, located in St. Michael, to Rihanna Drive.
That's big to get a street named after you while you're alive. I was actually having a conversation with somebody about that yesterday, and they were saying the reason they don't really do that is because what if the person gets in trouble? Because when the street is named...
Oh, you got to take the street down.
The street is named after you forever. So what if the person gets in trouble, you know... While they're alive.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Cosby way somewhere. Or was one.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
Yeah, let's not just make things up.
I'm sure. No, I'm saying I'm sure there's one somewhere.
Well, ladies,
somewhere.
Don't go down that street. All right?
Now, 50 Cent versus Wendy Williams. It all started with 50 Cent saying, "Excuse me if I seem a little insensitive at times. I'm different. I came up a little harder than these guys. I make no excuses. I never met my father, and my mother got killed when I was 8. So,
and he's a cancer.
Right, so he was, I guess, basically speaking about him having a child support party. He no longer has to pay child support for his for Marquise. And Wendy Williams weighed in. Here's what she had to say.
At some particular point, though, don't you have to let go of some of the things that badger you? I don't care that you didn't grow up with a father and that your mom, whatever happened, you know, when you were 8 and that you were shot 9 times. You're 42. You got a 21-year-old son. Get your life.
I do not want to hear Wendy go in detail about nothing until she goes in detail about her husband's alleged infidelities. I cannot stand the fact that she will break down everybody else's dirt but won't break down her own. She just brushes past her own
dirt. 50 Cent feels the same way. He put up that picture of Wendy in a bikini on the beach and said, "Wendy Williams just told me to get my life together, SMH. Your husband is not a bad man. He deserves a side chick for talking to you, you ugly MF-er. Focus on your own ish,
sheesh,
bitch. Oh, yeah, we in Club Lust tonight. You're invited, LOL." Then he posted a picture of her next to the Beast from Beauty and the Beast and said, "Yeah, bitch, you effing around in the wrong section. Every time you call me, I'ma show up." Now, other reports are saying that Wendy Williams does feel threatened, and that's because of our girl, Angie Martinez.
Drop on the clues bomb for Angie Martinez, damn it.
Yes, Angie Martinez is supposedly going to be doing her own talk show, so congratulations to Wendy. I mean, to Angie, but apparently Wendy is not too happy about it because that's somebody that she's, I guess, doesn't get along with. They've had their own issues as detailed in Angie Martinez's book.
Well, Angie's doing it with the same company, Deadball Mercury.
Yes. Yeah. So,
same company that does Wendy.
That story was posted on Baller Alert, and 50 Cent left a comment and said, "Shout out to the talk of New York, Angie Martinez. Please go on TV so we don't have to look at this dog face bitch no more. That ish supposed to only be on radio. We ain't supposed to have to look at ish like this."
Oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure that's a true story because Deadball Mercury wanted to do something with me at one point, and Kevin and Wendy did the same exact thing. Went to them barking and yelling and screaming and hating.
Really?
Yeah, saying, "Don't you dare."
That's not nice.
Bring him into the fold.
Oh, well, I mean, what could, you know, what can she do anyway? Leave her TV deal?
I don't know.
That's not nice.
But I'm just saying that story sounds awfully familiar because the same exact thing happened to me. So drop on the clues bombs for Angie Martinez. I can't wait to see Angie's talk show.
I'm sorry. I thought we were supposed to help our own, but
I'm right. Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Our own people that look like us.
Well, all like as my girl.
Angie do not look like Wendy Williams. Stop it.
As my girl Angela Rye says, all your skin folk ain't your kin folk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, now, when we come back, we got some special guests joining us. We have RZA.
The Resurrector.
The ruler Zigzag Ziggalaw.
And Alai Mathematics.
And Mathematics.
Produced the whole entire Wu-Tang album that's out now.
Yes, it's called The Saga Continues. You should go get it if you haven't got it yet.
Longtime producer for Wu-Tang and also DJ for Wu-Tang. So we'll kick it with both of them. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Clubs. We got some special guests in the building. First and foremost, the RZA.
The ruler Zigzag Ziggalaw.
And I know him as the DJ for the Wu-Tang Clan.
Alai Mathematics.
That's right, in the building.
Yeah. I never met him. This guy, you always see his name on production credits throughout the years. Mathematics, good to meet you, my brother.
Same here, pleasure.
Now, RZA, are you doing any production on the Wu-Tang album, the new one that's coming out?
On this new album, Wu-Tang The Saga Continues, all produced by Alai Mathematics.
Why'd you decide to take a backseat on this one, RZA?
Yo, a lot of math talent has been great for years, but I think he really got it perfected. And for me, it was like a pleasure to hear that sound could be generated by somebody else in our crew. And that's why it's The Saga Continues, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm the executive producer. I ain't got to press those buttons right now. I let a Law of Math press the buttons. You know what I mean? I just come in at the end and just give a little shapey shape on
it. How hard was that for you? Because you're such a hands-on person from the beginning to just let somebody say, here.
Yeah, you know, I'm growing up. I'm a man now. You know what I mean? So I'm not as attached as I was in the past. And also, I guess sometimes when you're doing something, you feel nobody else could do it. You know what I mean? And you always say, yo, hold on, let me do it. Let me show you. You know what I mean? But then when you see somebody can do it, you got to let that go. And I think for any MC out there who's doing what you're doing, I think it's time for y'all to call a Law of Math to get one of his tracks. Because, yo, he got five more other fire joints he played that ain't on the album. Mm.
So for Math, for you, I'm sure you keep in contact with everybody because you also DJ for everyone. How difficult was it for you to get everybody's verses? Because I know the guys are all over the place.
It wasn't that hard. It's like, for me, it was like just like, you know, coming through with the music. Mm-hmm. So when I came through with the music and brothers heard it, they was attracted. So that's the whole thing. You want to bring them in. Somebody else hear somebody else's verse and be like, wait, hold on. I got to top that right
there.
Were
any of those verses older verses or they were all new verses?
Nah, new verses.
So
Meth said some of them were older. Well, he said that's why they got Avengers.
I ain't going to say they was older, but it is. I've been working on a project for a while. When I get the verses, I'm not done with the joint. So I'm still adding, building on it as far as, like, you know, making sure the production is right, making sure, you know, everything mesh. So, like, Meth is one of the first dudes, because I'm on the road with Meth. Mm. So he was one of the first dudes that was on it. He was already hopping on everything early.
So Meth probably started doing his verses in 14, 15?
Yeah, like 14. Yeah.
And why Redman? I see Redman on a couple of tracks.
Well, I'm on the road with Meth and Red all the time, and, you know, Red is, you know, that's Wu-Tang cousin, and it's like, right. You know, me and Red is mad tight, too, so it's like, Red was seeing a progression as well, so Red, you know, like, when I asked him to get on the first one, and he heard it, he was all in.
Red was like, no doubt.
Yeah, he was all in, so then when he heard the second one, like, you know, because he got on a couple of tracks, you know what I mean, and that was just out of, you know, being on the road with him, what I was working on. Right. And he's a brother, too. You know, I play stuff for him, too. Like, yo, let me
how you
get
like
your,
this, right?
Yeah, yeah, let me get your opinion. And he's like, yo, hold up. So, you know, yeah.
Now, RZA, you always allow your producers to get their credit because you always hear stories about super producers having ghost producers and they be taking credit for their beats. You've never done that with Mathematics or True Disciple?
Fourth Disciple.
I combined them two. True Disciple and Fourth Disciple. You've never done that.
You know, it's so crazy. First of all, on this album, you know, Math was like, on some of the music, you know, he felt I helped inspire it, right? And he was like, you know, you want to get a co-production credit on it. I was like, nah, why would I, you know? He did it, yo. Mm-hmm. He lived it out. I don't need, you know, nobody else merits for my merits, you know what I mean? And I think when a man... talent is where it's at, you know, he should be given that chance, given that opportunity. I'm not that kind of guy. I heard those stories too. I don't know how many of those stories is real. I like to believe those stories ain't real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I like to believe that the producer did what he did. You know what I'm saying? But you're not going to find a joint that says RZA that wasn't done by me. You're not going to find that. You know what I mean?
Well, who created the Wu-Tang sound? This could be a stupid question, but who created the Wu-Tang sound?
I'm saying, yo, I'm the founder of that. You know what I mean? Word. So, you know, Wu-Tang... It has a temple that's thousands of years old in China, you know what I mean? But for the Western civilization, you know, I'm the abbot, you know what I mean? The spirit of that entered me, you know what I mean, to do what I had to do, you know what I mean? And I took that, you know, even against the eyes of my homies, you know, it was other people that was like, man, with that kung fu, like, we black.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for me, I saw the universal... language that it was trying to say, you know what I mean? The Wu is the way, you know what I mean? And being having mathematics in my consciousness, W is for wisdom, right. And U is for universe, and the wisdom of the universe, it gotta expand. So not doing that egotistically, but I'm the founder of that right here in the Western Hemisphere. When I went back to China to the abbot of Wu-Tang Mountain, he was like, history already knows you, and you are the abbot. And he was a musician, mm-hmm. The abbot of the Chinese Wu-Tang Temple is also a musician, but he don't sell his music. He just gives it to people.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Now, before Wu-Tang, you were Prince Rakim.
Yeah.
Right? So that transition, were you like, okay, this is just not me at all? Was that like a label trying to make you be something that was, at that time, Big Daddy Kane-ish?
Well, at that time, you know, I was already Wu-Tang then also. If you look at, like, on my single, it says the Wu-Tang mix. And most of the Wu-Tang members was down with a crew called DMD, which is called Come Down. You know what I mean? And that, and those was between, that was, those were the crews I would hang with between Stapleton and Park Hill. But Prince Rakim is my attribute. You know what I mean? My name is Divine Prince Master Rakim Zigzag Ziggler. And so Prince Rakim was my attribute, so I'm always going to be proud of that. But far as the music or the choice of releases that was chose by the label, I think that, I made the music, so nothing against it, but I think that Monica, the president at the time, she saw me in competition with Will Smith and them. I think, you know, I was kind of aggressive inside, but if you clean me up, I could be a nice guy, you know, right. Like, you know what I mean? Fresh Prince type of guy or whatever, and I think she thought that was the way to go with me, you know.
That's why they had the girls on the hook. We love you, right?
Yeah. They was loving me a little bit, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't
happy about it.
Yeah, I wasn't a guy, a girlfriend guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I catch you Friday, you pop it off, I'm just keeping it moving. You know what I mean? The one night stance type of individual. Right. That was more of my energy, you know what I mean?
Now, Mathematics, you created the Wu-Tang logo?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a dope shirt, too.
Yeah. I got a lot of Wu-Tang paraphernalia. Thank you for the wallet. RZA came in here with gifts.
I know, I'm excited.
Now, how'd you come up with the logo? How'd you think of that one?
The actual logo actually came just one night. God called me, was like, yo, I'm getting these joints printed up tomorrow. I need a logo tomorrow. So I was like, word, tomorrow? So I came home from work. I was like, all right. I sat on the living room floor and just started, came up with what I came up with. So I just remember, you know, we discussed a few things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's some editing and all that, but yeah.
And then...
Who was the first person you showed it to, RZA?
Yeah.
Okay.
They came up to the job, him, Ghost, Power, and Divine. I remember all of them looking at it, like, this pad, like, he's like, yeah, this is it.
And this, it was this right here, this W.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All of the Wu-Tang merchandise we see, like, in Target and everywhere, like, who gets the money for that, though?
That goes to the company. I mean, Law Math did Joy, but how much I paid you for that back then?
What was it?
$400?
Something like that.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, yo, but at the time, that was half my rent money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, I mean, he drew it, but, you know, it was a pay-for-service, you know what I mean? So it's owned by the company. I own the company. So the majority of it goes to the company.
All the licensing and everything. Yeah. Now, wow. So y'all rich forever off a logo.
Yeah.
Mathematics, you want to renegotiate?
Well, I got a percentage, so yeah, you know what I mean? So it's...
The Nike guy did the Nike logo for $250.
Wow, yeah. That's swish.
Yeah. All right, we got more with the RZA and Mathematics when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. RZA and Mathematics from Wu-Tang are in the building. The album you did for Martin Scorsese, are we ever going to get that album?
It's an 88-year wait. Well,
they said he put it on eBay. He put it up on sale on eBay, he said.
I don't know. I saw the highest bid was like $1.1
million.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of legal things that go with that. I don't know exactly. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I can't even disclose all of it, but there's a lot of legal parameters around that record. But what he did do, though, I got to just say this. The idea was to bring value back to music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you know, I disagree when people was buying headphones for $600 but won't pay a dollar for the music that's going to go in the headphone.
Mm-hmm.
And so also disagreed that we was devaluing music from not even being represented as art. And so the idea was to say, you know what, let's put it in the art gallery. Let's make music become a living piece like a Mona Lisa or a scepter from Egypt. And that's what that record was. And it was auctioned off. And the crazy thing is that it's auctioned off and he bought it. You know, he's the guy who put his money where his mouth is. It was other billionaire dudes that was talking about they was going to buy it or they bid.
I read the book. The Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. Okay. Yeah.
So the crazy thing is that now he pits it out and auctions it off. And it's funny that, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, wow, why would he do that? But I'm glad to see that it got up to $1 million because that means that other people...
See the worst of it, right.
That's the beauty of it all, you know what I mean?
Did you feel back then his energy wasn't right, though? Like when y'all...
When
like,
I met him?
Yeah, yeah.
When I met him, you know, he came in, he had his homies with him, two other dudes. I had a dude with me, all, you know, pretty preppy people, you know what I mean? And we was at the Soho House. I know he said I came in like I'm God.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He started being disrespectful after the fact.
He been saying he's gonna put hands on goals, put hands on you.
I don't know who he's on there now. I mean, I came in, I'm me. He seemed like he had a story that I could relate to. Mm-hmm. His parents came in here as immigrants from Albania. Mm-hmm. They worked out of Sheepshead Bay. My aunt lives in Sheepshead Bay, you know what I mean? Go to Coney Island, the sweep floors, whatever, you know what I mean? And then he makes it through the Bronx High School of Science. I tried to go to the Bronx High School of Science, right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he had a story that I was like, wow, okay. And he loved, Wu. He said some of Wu lyrics has inspired him, you know what I mean? And 50. He said, I love Wu-Tang. 50 is my favorite. You know what I mean? I said, all right, well, you should know hip-hop. And I said, this thing to me is important to me like a child. Mm. You know what I mean? Are you going to respect it and take care of it? He said, yeah. And so we made that deal. And then I think maybe like 3 months later, I'm home with my wife. I'm watching Bill Maher. And it says, scumbag. And it's like, oh, wait, that's the guy that I made the deal with about the record. And then it goes on about him hiking the pills up.
Right.
And then from there, but it was already
You
engaged.
Already had sold
yeah,
them.
It was already, the contracts was being drafted up and all that. So,
but he paid in full. Check didn't bounce. Oh, that's all it meant.
Is that how many good? I'm saying, is it good? Like, is it good? You kind of critical of A Better Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Like, what kind of sound was it? Is it more like The Saga Continues, more Better Tomorrow? Was it vintage Wu?
More like Wu-Tang Forever.
Mm. Now, Matt, for you, I remember we had a conversation about Eminem.
Right.
And you guys, actually, Eminem came and performed at Park Hill Day 1 year. This is before he was signed, before anybody really knew who he was. He was just doing Lyricist Lounge and freestyling. And you were like, man, we had a chance, an opportunity to sign Eminem at one point.
Yeah, he came to Park Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was what, 90? What year was that? Was that 97?
It might have been like 97.
90, yeah, something like that.
That's well, I say one thing is his freestyle on Trump, yo. Did he go in?
Yeah, he went in.
It was decent.
Charlamagne said it's mediocre.
I like the messaging of it. The message was bigger than the actual bars.
I thought the bars were pretty
clever.
How
about the expression in the bars, too, though?
He sold it. Yeah.
And I think coming from a white brother, because if we do it, we complaining.
Right.
Yeah. I like seeing white people use their privilege to combat prejudice. So I give them all the props for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want. You know what I mean? I want to see what they going to say now. If I would have said it, they'd be like,
Yeah, it's just little things that bother me after the fact when I see Keith Olbermann say, I haven't listened to hip hop in 27 years. I didn't even like rap until last night. And I'm like, that's kind of a slap in the face a little bit to the culture.
That's not Eminem's fault.
I know.
Yeah. You know what, Keith? I know you're going to have to rate my movies. I think he might have gave me a D on one of my movies.
Wow.
I'm like, yo.
Which movie?
Iron Fist. It was a Keith. I don't know who. It was some, yo, I ain't going to find it. It was some writer that gave me a D, right? Yo, I was so pissed off.
Have you been watching all this stuff with Harvey Weinstein, too? And now all these women coming forward and people are saying in Hollywood, that's just what it is.
I don't know if that's just what it is. I mean, I don't think that's just what it is. I mean, I never been in a situation that, I'll say this, I think like some people have a natural ability to attract the opposite sex,
mm-hmm.
whether they got money or not.
Right.
And some people need money and power to do it. And if you can't do it without your own natural qualities, you're gonna try to use anything else you have to do.
You're gonna use that position of power, absolutely.
And men for years have done that, you know what I mean? And I'm blessed not to have to be a man like that, you know what I mean? But a lot of men who have that, I guess it's a different impotency.
Okay.
Whatever.
Impotent, that means you're gonna get hurt.
Right, so they impotent in a different way.
Oh, got you.
Right? They don't have the natural ability, so they use what they got. Look, for me, and Harvey Weinstein, he's actually the man that started my film career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm in debt to him as a professional, and I never got a chance to see him do the things that he's done. You know,
he
what
never
mean?
Tried you.
He ain't, how you gonna try me?
What are you saying?
Harvey, like. You know what I mean?
Somebody tried Terry Crews.
Yeah, but it wasn't Harvey.
He said it wasn't Harvey. He said it was somebody.
Somebody tried Terry Crews?
Yeah,
he was with his wife.
Yeah, Terry said a Hollywood exec walked up to him and grabbed him.
Okay. Oh! Like, yo, that. I'm like I got said, my energy don't, you know what I mean? I got a different kind of energy.
All right, we got more with RZA and Mathematics when we come back. Let's get into a new joint off the album. It's called People Safe. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's
That was People Say, a new Wu-Tang joint off the album. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have RZA and Mathematics in the building. So, RZA, you got a new movie coming out?
All good.
Because we saw the trailer, and obviously Azealia Banks is the star of that movie, but that relationship went left. She mm-hmm. thought that you were supposed to manage her, sign her, whatever, what you were signing her.
I was helping her get her music career started as well. I mean, she got a music career. I was co-signing her. Yeah, it was a record deal on the table for her, yeah.
So you didn't anticipate, you didn't see any signs that things were perhaps not going to work out because she definitely
had
a history.
Well, you know what? I heard about her history, but when she came to work for me, y'all, I'm serious. She did her job every day. She showed up. If I was like, put this on, fall on the bed, cry.
That's not like Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
That's funny. But anyway, I was paying her. she's a natural talent, yo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never got a chance to see any of the other rumors that I heard. And we just had a bad night, yo. Usually a bad night. Look, bad nights happen.
Right.
I ain't gonna front, you know. There's always a party you could go to. It's usually real private.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a world now that when something happens, it explodes. You know what I mean? So if that would have been something that happened and stayed in the room, it would have just been something that happened, stayed in the room, and we'd have moved on. But it got out the room. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It takes nothing away from the great talent that she is or the talent that she delivered in this film. She delivered, y'all. And I don't care. I was very angry at a point, but I can't be angry at her talent.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because she delivered.
Why were you angry? Why? Because you felt like she was like just disparaging your character?
Yeah, I felt like, yo, we was, you know, you had a party, you had everybody partying. It's a lot of things gonna happen in the party, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you turn the lights on, we start drinking over there. And I mean, somebody going to zone.
Did Russell put hands on her though? Or spit on her like she said?
Look, he spit at her, and it almost got on me. I'm like, yo.
Did you check him in that point, though?
Yeah,
a white dude spitting at a black woman. You had to check him.
He apologized to me. You know what I mean? He said, you know. But the night was crazy, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to relive it. It was crazy. And it was super duper awkward. I'm telling you. One day, I'll make a scene in the movie about it one day.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You'll see it, then you'll go, oh, that might be that night right there. You know
imagine
I mean?
If when you guys were coming up, there was all kinds of social media and cameras, and you guys wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you got
nights.
When you got alcohol, you know what I mean, marijuana, any other substance in the room with people, and you got, everybody partying for hours, something's going to crack off, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, one way or another, you know all what I right. mean? So that's life, yo. And if it gets out of hand, like ODB, right? He'll actually will raise it up to that level. Everybody ready to fight. Guns will come out, and he'll kiss you right on the nose. and nullify the whole thing. That night, the kiss didn't happen. Right. Just say that. A kiss would have ended it all. You know what I mean? Would have calmed it all back down.
Is it every producer's movie, though, without the lead character promoting the movie?
Well, in a way, of course. But, look, Azealia, she has to love what she did in this movie.
Right.
I'm serious. And I think that when people see what she does, I think they're going to have a new respect for her because we all know she's talented, but the warmth of her character,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? She really plays the movie. I'm going to say something about it. I was told when I got this script, I didn't write it. They told me that this has to be PG-13.
Right.
Now you're telling Russell to do a PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think that I could do it. You know what I mean? It was other directors up for the job, you know what I mean? And they chose me. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna make this a very warm story. You know what I mean? I went and watched Flashdance.
That's my movie.
Okay.
That is my movie.
So
I love
look,
that movie.
Look, I watched that right there. I was like, I wanna kinda like see if I could bring an energy like that to our gotcha. Film. You know what I mean? And I watched some Disney joints. So I had to put her into that world like that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And she fell right into it, y'all. When you see it, you're gonna be like, oh,
you can
wow.
see the trailer, you can tell that she does like a great, I was like, okay.
Nah, she's super talented. It's interesting, every conversation I have with like Hollywood producers and stuff, everybody wants to do a Wu-Tang biopic, yeah. but they just like, they can't figure it out for whatever reason.
It's a lot of people that have to
it's
be
a lot. Yeah, they say it's so many people involved, but they just can't figure out the story, so to speak.
Well, you know, we're gonna work on that. We're gonna, that'll be a great, a great culmination of our history, of our dedication to music and hip hop and culture. So we working on that hard. You know, man, me and Meth actually had a meeting recently that was really, really cool, and he's on board to help put some energy towards that. And I think with me and him starting that fire, I'm sure that other brothers will come and put a log on that fire so it turns into a blaze. So very positive, very positive. I don't want to jinx it. You know, some people, I don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
But we definitely had a great meeting about it.
This is my final question. Have any Asians ever accused y'all of cultural appropriation? Because everybody's always having these cultural appropriation conversations. They're a Chinese rap group that's like Wu-Tang is culturally appropriating.
Nah, that never happened. I had a great conversation with Jeff Chang from the West Side, West Coast, who actually deals with that, and he actually appreciates that Wu-Tang has been part of promoting Asian culture to the world and to America.
It's authentic too. It's not like you guys are trying to steal from the culture. You guys really came up going to 42nd Street and watching the Kung Fu movie
and studying the philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
America, 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 America. This is a country, yo, of diverse people. This is why this microphone exists. This light exists because, Con Edison had a black brother. What's my brother's name?
Louis Latimer.
Yeah, he had who sounds like he could have been half French. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes all the diverse cultures to make America, and then for us to be able to include the Asian energy into hip hop. It was already being included in the small break dancers will watch Kung Fu movies and get break dancing.
Right.
I remember, think about it, Grandmaster Flash. That's still a grandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he got it from 7 grandmasters, but you know, the idea, you know, we all are, that's why I love that show, The Deuce. It's giving us a taste of some of the things that inspired hip hop culture. So I think that they appreciate what Wu-Tang do. And there's actually, there was a Nike commercial for Asia, where they, and this was to me, it's one of the greatest things, where there's a group of young Asian men doing Wu-Tang lyrics. I think that's so cool, y'all.
Dope.
Well, we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Mathematics RZA. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Harvey Weinstein.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Harvey Weinstein's own brother is saying that he was also a victim of abuse by Harvey Weinstein. He said, I was also the object of a lot of his verbal abuse, at one time physical abuse, and I'm not looking for one bit of sympathy from anyone. He said, I do not put myself in the category at all of those women that he hurt, but it's a complicated situation when it's your brother doing the abusing to you as well. I saw it, and I asked him to get help for many years, and that's the truth. He avoided getting the help, and we begged him. Now, he said that he had not barely spoken to his brother in the past 5 years. He said he wasn't aware of his brother's alleged sexual misconduct. Instead, he thought that he was just having all kinds of adultery with one woman after another.
Yeah, Bob, you could have kept that to yourself. It's levels to this abuse thing. If you're not going to tell us Harvey Weinstein sexually assaulted you as well, then you could have kept that to yourself.
And he also said it's not true that they're trying to shut down the company or sell the company. He said business is continuing as usual as the company moves ahead. So for anybody that thought that they were selling the company, that's not happening now.
Just wait a little bit, okay? It's only been a week.
A former intern that worked with Harvey Weinstein back in the 80s says that sexual assault dated back to then. Paula Wachowiak told the Buffalo News, she's 62 years old now, that Weinstein exposed himself to her inside a hotel room and asked her, was seeing me naked the highlight of your internship? Now, she said she was told to bring a bunch of checks to his hotel room to get them signed. She said, when I got in the room, I realized he was holding a hand towel around his waist. He dropped the towel to grab the folder full of checks and sat on the bed with the folder over his groin and pointed to checks and asked me why were we paying for this or that, and then asked her for a massage, saying that he had a sore shoulder. Now, Angie Everhart, who is a model and an actress, had this to say about her experience with Harvey Weinstein.
I was at the Cannes Film Festival. I was on a friend's boat. Harvey walked in front of me, took his pants down, did his thing, said, you're a really nice girl. Don't tell anybody about this. And left. It was a lot longer than that, and I, he was blocking the door. I couldn't get out. I was in the bed sleeping when I woke up to him above me.
What do you mean did his thing, like masturbated?
Yes, he was pleasuring himself and blocking the door. Now, she said that he told her not to tell anyone, but she said, I told everyone. She told other actors, producers, anybody who would listen, and all they said was, oh, that's just Harvey.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, and then in addition to that, there was a rumor, according to Harvey Weinstein, that Oprah was trying to get him to come out and she wanted to publicly support him. But Oprah's people are saying it's just not true. Now, Harvey Weinstein has repeatedly been telling people that Oprah called him and said he needed to speak out and defend himself. And when he did, she would be right there. But according to Oprah's spokesperson, Oprah has not spoken to Harvey Weinstein directly. Someone from his team reached out to her to see if she would talk to him. And she said she would if it was for an interview. There's no plans for an interview at this time.
That don't sound like a Super Soul conversation to me.
Not at all.
What kind of Super
Soul conversation? She does 60 Minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can
so
see
it could have been
minutes.
On 60 Minutes as well. That would make sense, right?
Listening to the Super Soul conversation this morning.
Now, the Food Network's Sunny Anderson, in the meantime, was in some hot water, and that is because of some things that she said on Twitter. Now, she talked about the numerous women who are coming forward to talk about Harvey Weinstein and their allegations against him. She said, when I reported my first radio boss for sexual harassment, I felt brave. The four co-workers that came out after me were not brave to me at all. In fact, I blame them and still do for not being brave and reporting him before he had a chance to make one more victim. So she said, so all these women come out of the woodwork. Ask yourself, were they complicit in their silence, complicit when taking payoffs? Now, everybody went in on her after she put these tweets out. She said, I've deleted my obviously polarizing and offensive statement as a victim and warrior against sexual harassment in the workplace. I apologize.
Well, it takes one, right? Like, it takes one person to show that bravery, and then it gives everybody else the strength to come out, too. So Sunny should look at herself as a person who, you know, started a wave. And then it gave everybody else the strength to come out.
I never understand how somebody can be. But I can't. I never understand how somebody can be mad about her feelings. She's been harassed before, and this is the way she feels about people.
But she's calling the other people who are victims weak and saying that it's their fault for not coming out, and she's blaming them for that.
Yeah.
And you can't say that the victim. You blame the person who abused someone, not the victim. You don't know how people process when something happens to them.
Absolutely, Sunny. That's the homie. Right. But if I was Sunny, I'd be happy that other women came out after me, because then it doesn't make you look like a liar. Because it's easy to paint one person as a liar. It's hard to paint several women as a liar.
But I guess she's looking at it like, if they would have came out, maybe I wouldn't have been harassed. Maybe she's looking at it from that side.
And let's be clear, you hear these stories of women who did come out, like Angie Everhart said she told everyone.
And nobody believed her.
And no one believed her. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's hard for people to come out when things like that happen. Now, Gabrielle Union went on Twitter and said, sexual violence and harassment can happen to anyone at any time, anywhere. People remain silent for many different, very personal reasons. Judgment, victim shaming, blaming, loss of job, money, fear of violence, retaliation. Folks are also very open and obvious about what kind of victims should be prioritized and believed. To think otherwise is to be willfully dim. In Hollywood meetings and homes, hotel lobbies, restaurant suites, private isolated office space is the norm. No one asked for it. Sexual or physical violence, harassment, demeaning language is not the price one should pay for seeking or maintaining employment, period. And then she said, reminder, I got raped at work at a Payless shoe store. I had on a long tunic and leggings, so miss me with that dress modestly-ish. Though I was raped by a stranger who raped me at gunpoint after robbing the store, I was still asked by a female friend what I had worn.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor reports.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
We giving it a donk or two.
Man, this is a cowardly lion. Named Hanifa Davis. He is the police officer in West Orange.
Oh, you seen that video?
I didn't see the video.
Oh, my
God. I thought it was in orange.
I saw the still shots. I saw the still shots.
Oh,
I refuse to watch the
video. You gotta watch the video.
Because I don't like things that give me anxiety. But Hanifa Davis needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with his lame ass.
You should watch it.
No. I saw the screenshots. That's all I need.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang. Dunk it other day. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Monday, October 16th goes to a New Jersey police officer named Hanifa Davis. Now, a video was posted on WorldStarHipHop.com over the weekend that shows a police officer named Hanifa Davis forcibly detaining two twin sisters, Kaiesia and Niaja Sorrells, and then manhandling Principal Muhammad Abdelaziz. Abdelaziz, who tried to intervene. My brother Muhammad, apologies for butchering your last name, but I do want to salute you because you are a true hero, sir. Drop one of Clues bombs for Muhammad, damn it. All right? Not too many people intervene when it comes to police officers brutalizing citizens, and you did so, so salute to you. You are a warrior. Mm-hmm. Now, back to this coward, Hanifa Davis. I just knew when Envy told me about this video this morning that it was a white police officer manhandling two black queens from Orange, New Jersey. I feel bad that I have been conditioned to think that way, but that's where my mind went. We have seen that on videos before, white cops manhandling sisters. So when I heard about the story this morning, that's immediately what I thought. I was saddened and deeply disappointed when I found out that the cop in question, Hanifa Davis, was a black man. He black, right?
He looked black to me.
Okay. Now, we always say we need more black people in law enforcement. The reason we need more black cops is because they understand the neighborhoods, they understand the community better, they will deal with black people better simply because they are black. But this lame ass so-called man Hanifa Davis clearly didn't get the memo on why we need more black cops. Now, before I go off on a tangent, let's get more details of this situation courtesy of ABC 7 New York.
Fellow students walked out of Orange High School to protest what they say was excessive force.
The video raises a lot of questions. First, why are the girls being held down in the first place? Since cops say there was no report of a fight or incident before this happened. Also, why did the officer yank one of the girls to the ground by pulling on her hair? The cop in the troubling video has been identified as Hanif Davis, who's been on the Orange Police Force for just 3.5 months. The girls in the video are 17-year-old twins Kai Asia and Niasia Sorrell. The school's principal even tried to intervene on behalf of the girls and ended up being put in a headlock. The incident led to Davis's suspension, and the police department is taking a close look at why a school administrator was poorly treated. And the administrator that you saw in the video was given a ticket but not arrested. As for the girls, they face charges in juvenile court.
Now, to add insult to injury, yes, they do face charges in juvenile court. They've been charged with aggravated assault, obstruction of justice, and three other charges. How? How?
I don't know.
Now, I am the father of two daughters, and there is no way as a father I am sitting back watching anybody put their hands on my seeds. Police officers out there, you know, that can hear me. Seriously, think about this. Do you understand the position you put me in as a man when you put your hands on my kids? Especially my daughters. How do you expect me just to sit back and watch that happen? I couldn't sit back and watch that happen if it wasn't my kids. That's why I have to salute the principal, Muhammad Abdelaziz. I know I'm butchering
you. Definitely butchering his name, bro.
But I have to salute you so much because he could have easily turned a blind eye, mm-hmm. like so many people do in that situation. But he, Muhammad, probably has daughters or nieces or sisters, aunts, a mother, I'm sure. A wife, maybe. I'm sure he has some type of woman in his life that he cares about, and he knows that could easily be the woman he loves on that ground, being manhandled by those cops. And this is what I don't understand about you, Hanifa Davis. You don't have any women in your life that you love? Do you have daughters, sisters, a wife, aunts? I know you got a mother. What would you do if any man, cop or not, was manhandling your mother the way you manhandled Kaiesia and Niasia Sorrells? Well, Hanifa Davis has been suspended, but he needed to be fired. And he should never work for any police department ever again. And he needs to be disfellowshipped from the black community. You know how Jehovah's Witnesses disfellowship their members when they violate codes of conduct? That's what we have to do to this brother. Disfellowship him. Okay? Nobody speak to him anymore. He not one of us. He should be ostracized from the black community. Hanifa Davis, you're supposed to be one of the cops, right, that helps change the narrative about the police. We want more black cops that help strengthen the relationship between cops and police. We need more black cops in law enforcement to show the white cops who may not know how to interact with us, how to interact with us. What's the point of being in that position if you're going to act just like them? Huh? Hanifa Davis, you're a disfellowship from the black community. I pray that your family doesn't invite you to Thanksgiving dinner this year. Okay, you don't deserve no turkey, no stuffing, no mac and cheese. You don't eat nothing. No ribs, no rice, no champagne, okay? I pray, Hanifa Davis, that every time you go to Starbucks, they write coward or sellout on your latte.
Or sucker. Right?
You should wake up this morning and every morning for the rest of your life ashamed and embarrassed for what you did to them little girls. Please give Hanifa Davis the biggest hee-haw, please.
So damn disrespectful.
I mean, come on, man. We need more of us in law enforcement just to show the ones that don't know how to treat us
how to treat us. Exactly.
What kind of example are you setting, Hanifa Davis?
Imagine the trauma for those young ladies now when they see cops.
Come on. And they got charged with assault? An obstruction of justice?
Those charges need to be dropped. They should be dropped.
How?
They should be dropped. But like you said, just imagine that those girls' father.
Come on, now you're going to put me in a bad predicament because you put hands on my baby girls. Now I got to put hands on you.
Come on, man.
And you
on,
are
man.
The law, so if I put hands on you, now I'm going to catch a charge.
Cop. Yeah.
Exactly.
But guess what? Hey,
it's worth it.
It's worth it. You got to. Come on. In that situation, come on. And there's not a cop out there who would allow that to happen to their kids.
Not
so
at
why
all.
Would you do it to somebody else's kids?
Not
Stop
at all.
It.
Throw
Stop
that
it.
Girl by her hair. F is wrong with you. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. All right, when we come back, shoot your shot. All right, we open up the phone lines and allow somebody to try to holler at somebody maybe they work with, maybe an ex, or maybe somebody they're feeling, and we'll help you out. We'll do it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Are you ready? It's time to shoot your shot.
Time to shoot your shot
with The Breakfast Club.
This is your one chance. Don't mess it up. Mess it up. Mess it up.
Morning,
mess
we got Olivia up. On the line. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning.
All right, it's shooting your shot. Who are you shooting your shot with, Mama?
I'm shooting my shot with Kev.
All right, who's Kev?
Okay, so one of my best friends, her name is Cass, and Kev is her dude. So I'm shooting my shot with my friend's dude.
Wait a minute. Is it a threesome?
Sounds, or that doesn't
you
sound just, like a good friend.
You want to join in, or you just want to take her man?
Well, okay. So, I mean, I do want to take her man, and I am going to take her man. But it has been because of a threesome. Like, they have been inviting me
before.
That's why you can't be having threesomes.
Now, listen, explain this to me, boo. Y'all had a threesome together, and you loved his penis.
Yes, multiple times.
So why don't you just continue to have threesomes? Why you got to get the whole man? You already got the milk. Why you want to buy the cow, too?
Literally. The girlfriend is your friend.
Yes.
You don't think that's not something that a friend would do?
I mean, listen, she can't do what I do.
I think the call you should be making is that you just want to have more threesomes. I don't think you should actually try to have this man to yourself.
No. We have a connection.
Oh, boy.
And
have y'all communicated outside of sex? Like, do y'all talk outside of sex?
We have.
This is the problem. This is why when you have threesomes with your man, you can't have him talking to the other woman. The only time you talk to her is when you're putting on a condom to put your penis inside of her, and you should keep that to a minimum.
But you can't help you who you connect with, though.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
What are you talking about?
This is foul.
Wow. Well, okay, well.
I don't know if I could co-sign this shoot your shot.
Well, you're stupid. I'm going to be honest with you, Mama. This is very dumb.
Let's see what happens. You're going to call Kevin when we come back.
This is dumb.
You should really
What's
call
her name
Cass,
now?
Too. Olivia.
Olivia, this is stupid. This is why Olivia
But you can't help who you connect with, though.
Listen,
what am I supposed to do about that?
This is why you got kicked off Love & Hip Hop. This is why you got kicked out of jail right here, Olivia. All right?
It's not that same Olivia. All
it's
right.
not the same one?
When we come back, we're going to call Kevin. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Shoot Your Shot. Olivia's on the line. She's about to call up Kevin. Let's see how this works.
Hello?
Hey, Kev, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. I was just thinking about you, so, you know, I just wanted to see
how you're doing. What are you up to? How's it going? What's going on?
You know, I just wanted to talk about, you know, what we've been talking about, and just wanted to make sure you were still, you know, make sure you were still down, so.
What exactly you got in mind?
So, you know, I'm planning on moving, right?
Word? Where to?
To Florida. And, you know, I wanted to know if you were still, if you were thinking about coming, if you still wanted to come.
Dang. Florida. You know what? Yeah, why not? I'm a
Okay, hold on. This is crazy to me. Kevin.
What's going on?
What's going on here?
I don't know what's happening.
Kevin, all right. Now, from...
Who is this?
This is your mama and daddy. Calling to intervene in your
life. And your uncle.
And Cass.
This is God, all right?
Olivia told us that she's friends with your girlfriend. So you're going to just leave your girlfriend and go...
With Olivia?
Oh, is this like some... Is like my girlfriend on the phone?
No, it's The Breakfast Club, man. It's The Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God.
Your girlfriend listens,
So your
though.
Girlfriend blessed you with an opportunity to have a threesome. Now you're going to leave your girlfriend with the girl that she bought in to have a threesome with y'all? Do you understand you ruin it for all future men? You're ruining it right now because what if all women are listening to this saying, yo, maybe that's a good thing. I'll bring in another girl, let my husband get his little rocks off, and we keep it moving. But now you ruining it, making it bad for everybody by leaving with the girl that she bought in for a threesome. Do you understand what I'm saying, boy?
Well, She should listen. If you don't have a threesome, in my opinion, you bring in another girl. That's fine. That's dope. But she brought in a girl that was badder than she is.
And so what? You got to have some loyalty, some respect.
So you're willing to break up with your girlfriend, and Olivia, you're willing to not be friends with this woman anymore because y'all would like to see each other. It's more important than Cass.
Absolutely.
Damn it. I've never met a man who is being allowed to have his cake and eat it too, but he's deciding to throw out the cake and just keep to eat it too.
Well, y'all are doing Cass a favor, okay? I wouldn't want to be friends with either one of you.
Well, I'm glad it worked out, and hopefully you guys...
This is not working out. This is messed up. You ruining it for future generations of men.
Shot. I guess she shot and it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out.
Olivia, are you going to allow him to have more threesomes?
You know, I mean...
See what I'm saying? Ha ha!
Maybe.
It's a maybe. Know. You had a guaranteed woman at the house who was going to let you have threesomes. Now you're leaving her for a maybe.
You know what? Why not?
Because he might do the same thing to you and leave you for the other woman?
My goodness. All right, guys. Well, you guys enjoy your life in Florida. They say the craziest people come from Florida, so now you're part of them.
I think the next threesome you should do, Olivia, is with a guy. I think you need to get a guy.
Well, what if he leaves her for him?
No. You hush. You stand down. What's his name? What's the boy's
name?
Kevin, you stand down. Olivia, go get a guy. You, Kevin, and another guy.
Have fun.
All right? Yeah. Olivia, go find an Oliver right now.
All right, guys.
Boy, bye.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right.
Bye. Shoot your shot, all right? Rumors are up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on?
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, the woman who was accusing Nelly of rape has said that she wants the whole matter dropped. She's not going to pursue any type of charges against him. Now, according to her attorney, Karen Kohler, she said her client has said put a halt to the criminal investigation of Nelly. She's not going to testify further in a criminal proceeding against him. She feels the system has failed her and she can't stand up to a celebrity. She said, who will believe her? People are saying horrible things already. She cannot handle this. She is about to break. She actually did an open letter. And she said, we do not live in a society where a 21-year-old college student can feel safe enough to pursue criminal charges against a celebrity for an alleged rape. So she said, you know, she wishes she had not called 911 because she believes the system is going to fail her. She wonders, who is she to go by her small, unimportant self against a celebrity? Who will believe her? People are saying horrible things. She can't handle it. She can't bear it. She wants this to end. She never wanted notoriety. She never wanted a dime from that man. She wants to go back to school and to graduate. And she cannot do this if she remains hidden in her room crying her heart out.
Well, that's bittersweet for Nelly, though, because in a way you would want to go to court so the facts of the case can come out. Because right now everybody's just like, oh, Nelly must have did something, but the girl's too afraid to testify.
Well, we don't know what the facts of the case are. We just know she's not
pursuing.
And
that's my point.
Right, and she ends it with, one day maybe our world will change and 30 women will not be needed to eventually speak out against a celebrity who has hurt them in order to be believed, but that day has not yet come. All right, so I guess we'll never know exactly what happened. Mark Anthony, in the meantime, has had some issues. Apparently, he was robbed of $2.5 million. Now, how does that happen?
Wow.
You have to be very, very rich because this has been happening over the past 8 years. Now, Kyle Tessiore, who worked at his accounting firm, is actually the one that was running up those charges. He was using his credit cards, accessing his accounts
from
2009 to 2017 and was having a great old time using his Amex and all of that. $2.5 million. Now, Mark Anthony's people did an internal audit, and that's how they found out about the irregular spending.
I thought, just take a little off the top. He won't notice. He got tens of millions coming in.
Listen, I would notice. You spend an extra $20, I'm like, what happened to this money?
Yeah, but you're not a $20 million.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I notice. I notice every little bit of money because I can't afford for you to be robbing my account. But over 8 years, so now he's going to go to jail. All right, Waka Flocka says he does not identify as black. Now, he was on with Sway, and here's what he had to say.
I'm not African-American at all. My folks is not from Africa, but people just don't understand. I asked my girl, I'm like, yo, grandma, what's your background? She's like, red foot and blacktail Indian. That's my other grandma. We got Cherokee in us and European and Italian, a little Dominican. I'm uneducated. So for me to sit here like a college professor, I'm wrong.
Do you address yourself as Native American? Do you address yourself as black?
I'm uneducated. I'm confused. You know what I'm saying? But I'm damn sure not black. You're not going to call me black. My grandmother's not Crayola. I'm connected to a tribe. I'm from a tribe, not a country.
See, I never heard that clip in this whole context. So he's saying he's Native American.
Yes, he's saying he's Native American.
He didn't really say what he identifies with. He just says he knows what his tribe is, but he says he's damn sure not.
He named a bunch of Native American tribes early on.
I know, but he asked him, do you identify as Native American or black? And he just said,
He said he don't know.
Right.
I get it.
He doesn't
I
know.
I didn't hear that clip in his whole context at first. I just saw the one part where he was like, I'm uneducated.
Right.
I'm not black.
Well, yeah, that's what happens. A lot of people see a little clip and then they run with it because then people started going in on him. And here's how he explains himself even further.
When you become this celebrity, you get to walk around the world, get to travel around the world, you get to touch the people, and get to find out the truth. And then when you get back home, what you call America, and you start telling the truth, people you see that's in your community that's still plugged in the matrix and still trapped into what society tells you is reality. It's hard to explain, but just know, my like, I'm black, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't the black America side, yeah.
See, I'm confused now.
But here's the now thing. He's black, but he's not the black that you say he is.
Even if he's all 100% Native American, he's still a person of color, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he's just saying he doesn't identify himself as black.
African-American.
As African-American.
I'm 95% West African, okay? You know what that means? I'm black as hell, all right? That's all I know.
All right, and I just want to shout out to Revolt. Again, the Revolt Music Conference was over the weekend. Shout out to Charisse, who works at Revolt. She did a great job organizing and holding everybody down.
Shout
I know
out to
I was
Charisse.
On her back the whole time. I need this, I need that, but she was very pleasant and took care of everything. So I appreciate you, Charisse. Shout out to everybody who came out to the Revolt Music Conference and Queen Latifah, who was also honored. And I got the chance to see Lauryn Hill perform, and that was exciting. And SZA as well. And SZA is incredible. So shout out to SZA, shout out to Lauryn Hill, and everybody at Revolt.
Yeah, they're getting their things together over at the Revolt Music Conference. It was way more organized.
It was really nice.
Had a good time this time.
It was great.
All right, shout out to the Eden Rock
everything
Hotel.
Was running
I made sure everything
That's
was
not...
good, too.
Hmm? So everything started later than it was supposed to. They kept having to push things back.
Well, because of the rain, the storm, and there was a lot of things that was supposed to happen outside that they had to move inside.
Yeah.
But it was a good event. All right.
And we broadcasted live from there, and that was actually a really nice event. It's actually nicer indoors, I think, than outdoors.
Yeah, but I'd rather do outdoors because watching the sun come up was amazing previous years. But anyway.
Oh, man. What? Look, AJ Calloway just hit me about a story we just did about the guy who hit up Mark Anthony and was spending on his credit card.
Yep.
He said that he actually messed up his money and Q-Tip's money and DMX as well.
Oh.
Sheesh.
All right.
Oh, drop on the clues bombs for Kyle.
Don't drop no bombs. Take that bomb back. Take that bomb back, man. What's wrong with you?
God know how to rob people with no gun.
My goodness. All right. Mix is up next. Revolt. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.